5. If I were to put a title on today's message, it would be the Great Exchange. The Great Exchange. There in 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 21, I'll just read this one verse, and we'll pray and get right into the message today. The Word of God says, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Let me read that just one more time today. "For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Let's pray together. Lord, as we come to You once again, we dedicate this time to You. I pray that there would be very few distractions today. I pray that hearts and minds would be attentive to the gospel, and that we would have those respond who have not yet put their faith in You for salvation. We love You, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated this morning. I think I said this last year, but I feel like I'm in a really dangerous spot today, all right? You got the hitch on the trailer here. If I go too long, somebody's going to come in and back up their truck and just haul me away, and I'll keep preaching down the road. But all the food is already in place, good to go. They smoke that pork all night long at just the right temperature. It's nice and tender. They slathered that Sweet Baby Ray's barbecue sauce all over it. In just a few moments, I'm going to walk down one of those lines and get me a sandwich and put some pulled pork on it. And I like putting coleslaw on my pulled pork sandwiches. Anybody else like that? All right. Turn a little charismatic here today if I talk about this too long. Some pickles on there. And then I'm going to circle back around and get one of those all beef hot dogs. Put some pulled pork on that thing and some coleslaw. And then I'll just repeat that a few times throughout the day. All right. Till I can hardly throw an axe anymore. Okay. But is anybody hungry today? I'm really. So there is the scriptures say, King David said, there's but a step between me and death. I feel like if I don't hurry up too quickly, then people might start to rebel. But I really won't be long. I'm just going to focus on one verse today. And it's my favorite verse in the Bible. This one sentence summarizes the heart of God. If I were to really kind of summarize the Christian message, it would simply be this, that God will forgive your sins forever because of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen to that today? Friend, this one verse may be the most profound in all of Scripture. As I said, it is my favorite verse, but I love it so much because the message of Christianity is contained in this just one sentence. And with a crowd this size, I would be foolish to think that there isn't at least one person here who has not yet put their faith in Jesus for salvation. At the end of the message today, I'm going to encourage you, if you have not done that, to take the opportunity to do so. Let me just walk through this verse, just kind of sentence by sentence, all right? The Word of God starts out in 2 Corinthians 5:21 like this: "For He," that's God, "hath made Him," that's Jesus, "sin for us." Well, that's pretty simple. That's us, right? "Who knew no sin." Now, that word sin is not a popular word. It's not a word we care to talk about in our culture, but it is a Bible word. So what is sin? Well, it comes from a Greek word, harmatia, which simply means to miss the mark. Let me explain that. To miss the mark. Maybe at some point today you're going to come over here in the axe throwing trailer and you're going to take somebody on. I don't know. Maybe you've already been telling somebody like, "Hey, mano y mano, we're going, me and you, we're going to face off, see who can hit the bullseye," all right? So in just a few minutes after the service, we'll open that thing up, and let's say you find somebody to throw an axe against you. Let's say you go first and you're confident. You're really confident. So you do the motion and you throw the axe and you miss the bullseye. Let's say just like 3 inches. You barely miss that thing. And then the person you're going against, now it's their turn. They stand up. They close their eyes. They say a prayer. They throw it. And man, they almost hit the bullseye, but it's just an inch. Just barely they missed it, but it's an inch away. They're a little bit closer than you. But both of you would miss the mark, right? You know, the distance from the bullseye, the mark, and where you hit the target is actually called something. We call that sin. Now, it provides a pretty good illustration for us today, because God has given us His mark, His perfect law. And every time we break His law, friend, that's like missing the mark, and that's called sin. Now, most of the time we give ourselves the benefit of the doubt. We say, well, I know everybody sins, Pastor Nathan. I'm a pretty good person. Maybe we think a little highly of ourselves, or we think we're doing pretty good, or maybe you think to yourself, I'm a good person. I know I mess up, but I do try my best. I'm honest. I'm nice to people. I'm kind. I mean, I haven't like done anything terrible in my life. I'm a good guy. I'm a good person. And maybe that's what you think today. I'm a good person. God's going to let me into heaven one day because, I mean, after all, I haven't done anything too terrible. I was feeling pretty good about myself this past week. My wife asked me for something. She asked me specifically for a t-shirt of hers, and she asked if I knew where it was. Now, I don't know how moms do this or not, but usually when I ask my wife for something, moms know where everything is always at all times, all right? And if I were to ask my wife, honey, where's a t-shirt I'm looking for? She would probably say something like this. Okay, go down into the basement. You're going to take 12 paces north, northeast, all right? Turn to the left. Look in the second dresser drawer on the right-hand side, the third drawer down under the purple t-shirt. And that's where, and I will follow those directions verbatim. And I'm like, honey, it was exactly where you said it was. And then she would say something like this. This is what she says. You need to look with your hands and not just your eyes. I'm like, all right, you know, fine. This past week, my wife asked me, hey, do you know where this t-shirt is? And for whatever reason, I knew where it was. And I said, yeah, honey, no problem. I'll go get that for you right now. And I went, I retrieved it. I felt like such a hero. Like the first time in my life, my wife has asked me for something. I knew where it was. And I brought it back to her, and I thought about saying, honey, next time you should look with your hands, not just your eyes. But I didn't want to sleep on the couch for the next week, so I didn't say that. But I was feeling pretty good. You know, sometimes we think, if I compare myself to other people, I'm doing all right. I'm pretty good. The Bible tells us a different story. As a matter of fact, in Romans 3:23, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's that word sin again. We've all sinned. And not just a little bit, but our sin is so serious that it separates us from God. And it not only separates us, but because of our sin, we face a penalty because of that. Now, listen to this. I want you to consider something. Imagine you were to sin just 5 times a day in something that you thought, something that you said, or something that you did. 5 times a day. If we sin just 5 times a day in something we thought, said, or did, we'd probably be doing a good job. But imagine you sin 5 times a day and you live to be 50 years old. Friend, do you realize that you will have sinned over 55,000 times in your lifetime if you sin just 5 times a day and live to be 50 years old? Sin is when we break God's law. Now imagine standing before a judge having committed over 50,000 crimes. Do you think that judge is going to look at us and say, you know, I know you've broken the law, but After all, you are a good person. You can come on in, or you can be forgiven. We'll just forget about it. And no way. Y'all, God is the perfect judge of the entire universe. And we would be foolish to think that we could stand before God having committed thousands and thousands and thousands of crimes, or we have broken his law. Do we think that God is just going to say, you're a pretty good person, we can just kind of forget about that? No way. We will be held accountable for our sin. That's the truth of Scripture. That's the bad news. As a matter of fact, John 3:36 puts it like this. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, but he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Now, here's my problem. I need some help, a lot of help, because now I'm separated from God because of my sin, and there is nothing that I can do to make up for my sin. I don't have any righteousness to offer to God because, friend, I have my own sin. I need help. But you can't help me. You know why? Because you're a sinner too. I'm a pastor, but I'm still a sinner in God's eyes. We need someone else's righteousness, and ours just isn't going to cut it. So here's the story of the Bible. God loved you so much that he sent his son Jesus to this earth to take your place on the cross so that we could be forgiven. Isn't that amazing? It's the greatest story ever told. Imagine it like this. Imagine I'm standing here and the wrath of God is hovering over me. It's about to be poured out. But then Jesus Christ pushes me out of the way, steps in my place, and God's wrath for my sin falls on him instead of me. That's the story of the Bible. The great exchange. God made Jesus sin for us who knew no sin. You know why Jesus could die for my sin? Because he's never sinned. You couldn't die for me. I couldn't die for you. But when Jesus came to earth, God treated him as if he committed every sin by every person who's ever lived, even though he had committed none. Are you listening to me this morning? For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. That doesn't mean Jesus became a sinner. No. No, even while on the cross, he is still holy God. But God, listen to me, treated him as if he were me, the sinner. God treated the innocent one as if he were guilty. The Bible says he knew no sin. As a matter of fact, the guy who condemned Jesus to die, his name's Pilate, he said of Jesus three times, he's innocent, he's innocent, he's innocent, and crucified him anyways. Herod said he was innocent. Judas, you know who Judas is, the guy who betrayed Jesus? He said Jesus was innocent. The Roman centurion overseeing his death said, this is an innocent man. One of the thieves on the cross hanging beside Jesus, who deserved to die, said, this is an innocent man. Friend, he had never sinned in his entire life. If he did sin, that would make him unqualified to represent us on the cross. That's why we needed a substitute. He was personally pure, but legally defiled. Personally innocent, but legally guilty. So here's what God does. He took all sins, past, present, and future, and laid them on his son. This is incredible. Selfishness, lying, stealing, murder, rape, lust, anger, pride, rebellion, evil thoughts, disobedience, all of it laid on Jesus, taken off of us and placed on him. He was born of a virgin, lived a sinless, perfect life. When the time was come, he died the perfect death on the cross. He was crucified for your sin and mine. He took our place. He took our punishment. He took our wrath. And he was condemned for us. He was buried in the grave. But then, praise the Lord, on the third day, he rose again. All right? He rose again. Christ was not guilty. But God treated him as if he were the guilty one. You know why? Because he came to take my place. And I'm guilty before God. So Christ exchanged himself for me. That's the message of the gospel. Jesus didn't die as a symbol. He didn't die as an example. He died as a substitute. Listen to me today. God doesn't take sin lightly. Something has to be done to settle this problem with God. But 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us something has been done. It has been done. Jesus has come and taken our place to become our substitute. This is an exchange. Look, not only does he take our sin, but that means we get something in return. He takes our sin, but then gives us something in its place. You know what he gives us? His righteousness. This is the greatest news I could share with anyone. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's what God did for us. He sent his son to take our place, to take our sin, but then he gives us his righteousness. So here's what happens. When God looks at the cross, he sees my sin, but when he looks at me, he sees Jesus. His perfect life deposited to my account. As if Jesus is the sinner and I'm the sinless one. Seems like an unfair trade, doesn't it? We have no righteousness of our own. You might think, well, what's wrong with my righteousness? I'm a pretty good person. You must not know what the Bible says about our righteousness. Isaiah says, our righteousness is like filthy rags to God. Romans 3:12 says, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. We have no righteousness of our own. So here's what happens. The worst about me was given to Jesus. The best of Jesus was given to me. I like that exchange. Don't you like that exchange? Aren't you glad it's not the other way around? God punishes Jesus for my sin and then turns around and treats me as if I lived his life. What an exchange. What a substitution. His righteousness covers my sin. You don't want to pay for your own sins, but someone must. And if you do nothing, you will spend eternity separated from God in hell. And there are still some. Look, this is what I thought as a young man. I'll just be a good person, and then I'll stand before God, and God will look at my life and say, okay, come on in, you know. You did enough good, and I know you're hard. And that's what I used to think. I'll just be a good person, and that'll get me a ticket to heaven. Friend, that's what billions of people believe. And billions are deceived. Think about it. If I could ever be good enough to earn my way into heaven, why, oh why, would Jesus ever come and exchange his life for mine on the cross if, hey, I could just be a good enough person to get there on my own. But because we could never be good enough, that's why Jesus came. There are two little words in that verse. I'll say it one more time, and then I'll finish. I'll be done. If I could just have your attention for the next 3 to 4 minutes, we're going to have a lot of fun, and we got a lot of things planned today. But this is the reason I'm here. Whatever reason you came today, I'm just glad that you're here. But I can tell you this, this is the most important reason. For he hath made him to be sin, hear these two words, for us. For us. Those may be the most beautiful words in all of the Bible. For us. That's what substitution is. One person takes the place of another person. So God's wrath and anger and judgment and condemnation towards sin was dwelling upon me, and then Jesus stepped in, took my place, and then he took all of that judgment upon himself so that I could go free. Again, it's not a fair trade. But it's the trade that God was willing to make for your soul. His son for your soul. Friend, if you ever doubt whether or not God loves you, you need only think of the cross of Jesus Christ. Yes, we are sinners. But there on the cross, we have the judgment of God and the love of God that are reconciled together. Because there our debt is paid. For us. That means for our sake. Christ hung on a tree for us. He bore the penalty for us. He became a curse for us. He suffered the condemnation of the law for us. It was like I was under the weight of this curse. The load of sin was upon me and I couldn't bear it. But just before it crushed me underneath the weight of this sin, Christ came between us and the curse, and it fell on him instead of us. God's fury and punishment and vengeance and anger towards sin was poured out on Jesus Christ, and on the cross he took my place. Listen to me. That cross was my cross. That was my sin he was bearing. That was my punishment. God's wrath was supposed to fall on me, but it fell on him instead. There on the cross in those hours, Jesus took past, present, and future sins and was punished for them all right there so that I might never be punished for them. What an exchange. And yet he stood in our place and God treated him as guilty, not for any sins of his own and not just for my sin or your sin, but the sin of the entire world. And because God treated him as guilty, that means I can be innocent. Innocent. Let me share a story with you and I'll close. I tell our church, just because I say I'm closing, that doesn't mean tune me out, all right? Pork's still there. It's not going anywhere, okay? Years ago, there were some pioneers who were making their way across one of the central states. There was an area for homesteading that had been opened up. And so they traveled in covered wagons drawn by oxen. Sort of like the Oregon Trail. That's what I picture, all right? One day, as they were progressing slowly, they looked up to the horizon and they were horrified to find smoke, flames. They realized that the grass had dried out and caught fire, and now the flames were burning and rapidly coming toward them. What would they do? The day before, they had passed a river, but there was no way that the entire company would be able to get back to the river in time before the flames overtook them. The people were terrified. One man seemed to know what to do. He gave commandment that a large area be burnt behind the company. So they set fire to the grass behind them. And when a large enough area burned over, the entire company moved back onto the burnt grass, and the flames continued to pursue after them. One little girl actually cried out to the man. She said, "Are you sure? Are you sure that we will not be burned up?" The man said, "My child, the flames cannot reach us here, for we are standing where the fire has already been." What a picture of the believer in Christ who is safe in Jesus. Listen to me. The fire of God's judgment burned themselves out on Jesus on the cross. And now all those who put their faith in Him are safe forever, because we are standing where the fire has already been. If you're here today and you have never put your faith in Jesus, maybe you think, "Well, I want to, Pastor Nathan. What do I have to do?" I'm glad that God makes it really simple. I'm a simple guy. I need things explained to me like I'm a kid. And that's the way the Lord made me. God makes it simple. If you will repent of your sins and believe in Jesus Christ, He will save you. You say, as simple as that? Absolutely. There is nothing that you can do. It's not about church attendance or baptism or good works or communion or confession, friend. It is only through Jesus Christ and your faith in Him that a person can be saved. And if you're here this morning and you've never done that, here's what you must do. Romans chapter 10 says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. For whosoever, that means anybody, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's as simple as that. Do you understand that you are a sinner like me before God? Do you understand there's nothing you can do to earn your way into heaven? Do you understand that Jesus came, lived a perfect life, died on the cross for your sins, and rose again for your salvation? Do you believe those things? If you say, "Yes, Pastor Nathan, I do believe that." Now what do I have to do? Confess. You need to ask the Lord to save you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you've never done that, I want to give you an opportunity to do that today. When I was 15 years old, I understood the gospel for the first time. I understood I was a sinner and there was nothing I could do on my own to be saved. And I called out to God in just a humble prayer, "God, please forgive me and save me." And friends, I can guarantee you this. If you make that decision today, He will save you right here. You say, "Even then, we're like at a fairgrounds, Pastor Man. Is this the right place?" Any place is the right place. Any time is the right time. And the best time is right now. It's right now. Would you bow with me for just a moment? With every head bowed and every eye closed. Nobody looking around this morning. Just another 60 seconds here of your time. How many of you here today would raise your hand to acknowledge that at some point in your life, you have personally called out to God and asked Him to save you of your sins? If that's you today, would you raise your hand just as a testimony to that? Amen. All around. You can put those down. What about you, friend? What about you? Is there someone here today that would raise your hand to acknowledge, "Pastor Nathan, I'm not sure if I died today, I would go to heaven. I don't know if I've ever been saved." If that's you, would you raise up your hand so I might pray for you? I see that hand. Anybody else? I see that hand. I'm not sure. I see those hands all around. So what do you need to do? It's pretty simple. Believe that you're a sinner, that Jesus died to pay for your sins and rose again, and then ask him to save you. You can do that right now. This is not something we would typically do, but in an activity like this, I think it's appropriate. If you've never been saved, I'd like to help you. This isn't magical words, and I'm not asking you to just blindly repeat after me. But friend, if you've never trusted Christ, you can do that right now. Here's what I'll do. I'll help to lead you in a prayer. You can pray it out loud. You can pray it in your heart. So long as you ask God to save you, you can do that now. If you'd like to be saved, just call out to the Lord even now. Say, "Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. I believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay for my sins. Forgive me, come into my heart, and save my soul." With heads bowed, eyes closed, if you prayed that today and you say, "Pastor Nathan, I made that decision. I called out and I asked God to save me today." Would you raise your hand just so that I might see that and celebrate that with you? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we come to you now, giving you the glory for these decisions that were made. Lord, you know their hearts. You know the sincerity. God, I do pray that if there are others who have yet to put their faith in you, Lord, that they would make that decision before it's too late. We thank you for your amazing love in sending your son Jesus to die on the cross in our place. We love you, Lord, and we praise you for who you are and ask that you would bless the activities today. Thank you for this wonderful food that we've been given. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me give you just a few thoughts today, and then we'll invite the pack church to